You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. I am so excited to do today's broadcast. If you have been following along, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew. We were in Matthew chapter 4 last time and considering the temptation of Jesus Christ, a temptation that took place in the wilderness where Christ was able to do what Israel was not able to do during their 40 years of wilderness wandering. So Jesus is in the wilderness. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's vulnerable. He's weak. The devil comes to him, tempts him, and Jesus overcomes all temptation. How does he do it? He does it by the word of God. He gives human nature the power to overcome temptation in large part to the word of God. That's the template we have here in the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4. But I also mentioned that there seems to be an apparent contradiction, and I'm frequently asked about this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, that is that James tells us that God cannot be tempted by evil, but here in Matthew chapter 4, we're informed that in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by evil, that he was tempted by the evil one. Well, to resolve this apparent contradiction, I pointed out that in saying God cannot be tempted by evil, St. James is focused on the ineffability of God, and conversely, St. Matthew is focused on the incarnation of God. In the incarnation, God the Son experiences all the essential physical and psychological needs commensurate with our humanity. And thus the biblical truths that the ineffable God cannot be tempted, and yet God incarnate was tempted, are complementary, not contradictory. Well, as I start this broadcast, I should also mention that the temptation of Christ does not in any way imply that Christ was tainted by sin. And I say that because for sin to take place, there has to be a sinful inner response to Satan's seductive suggestion to sin. And although Satan did appeal to Jesus' natural human desires, he, in this case, appealed to his hunger, our Lord did not fantasize in response to this satanic suggestion. If he were to mull over Satan's suggestion to sin even for a moment, he would be constituted a sinner. And had Jesus sinned, he could not have been our Savior. Although Jesus Christ did not have any sinful proclivities, any proclivities that would have inclined him towards evil, we need to say emphatically that Satan's temptations were nonetheless as real as the very flesh upon his bones. These were not mythological temptations. These were very real temptations. And I think by way of an analogy, even those who are born into sin, I'm talking about you and I, We can identify with being tempted to do something that we are utterly disinclined to do. And I'll give you an example. I've always found this example helpful, that most mothers, they'd never consider killing their children even if they were offered a life free from all suffering. They wouldn't do it. But nonetheless, the natural desire to avoid suffering would render such a temptation to be absolutely genuine. Well, before we move on from the matter of temptation, let me say just a few more words about spiritual warfare in general. Because as with the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, temptations are always crouching at our door. They are as close, well, as the click of a computer mouse, and as alluring as easy money. The devil is real, and he tempts us in a wide variety of ways. And therefore, St. Paul emphasizes that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. By the way, I memorized that by the word rape, because Satan really does seek to rape us. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the R, against the authorities, the A, against the powers of evil in the heavenly realms, the P, and against the spiritual forces of evil. So you have this rape that is taking place, and I think it's an apt word, because that's precisely what Satan seeks to do. He seeks to incline us towards evil. He seeks to pervert us, body and soul. And we must never forget that spiritual warfare is waged against invisible beings. They are invisible, but they are beings. And there are beings that personify the very extremities of evil. Now, Satan may not be able to read our mind, but he can influence our thoughts. I used to say to my kids that he does, as it were, sit on our shoulder and whisper into our ears. The whisper, it can't be discerned with the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. Now, I can't, and I freely confess, I can't explain how such communication takes place any more than, by the way, that I can explain how our minds can cause the physical synapses of the brain to fire. But that such mind-to-mind communication takes place is indisputable. If it were not, the Apostle Paul would not have insistently instructed us to put on the full armor of God. And that is so that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the full armor of God, because this is something that we are called to put on. Well, how are you going to put it on if you don't know what it is? And so I think it's incumbent on every one of us to put into our brain what that full armor of God is, so that every single day we can be focused on putting on the armor of God, and so that we as Jesus can stand against the wiles of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Again, as I said, Satan is not physical, but he is real. He is a tempter, He seeks to rob us, not only of the life that is life to the full in this life, but of eternal life as well. Well, as you can hear from the music, we are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more on putting on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand, and after we've taken our stand, to stand. And I do want to, once again, as is my habit, thank those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference all over the world, not just for time, but also for eternity. I also want to mention that I've written about spiritual warfare in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, that book available for all of you who stand with us in the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
If you found the last year challenging, you're not alone. In fact, millions believe that this last year has been the most brutal year of their lives. Non-stop news of COVID-19's devastation, coupled with our deepening culture wars, has wreaked havoc on our world. Sadly, many have surrendered to a life of settling when we should be soaring, resigning when we should be renewing. That's why Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan couldn't be more timely. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and the wife a psychologist. Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe provide a plan for personal renewal in these challenging times. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a priest, a psychologist, and a plan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm talking about the full armor of God and the need to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. And as I mentioned, while fallen angels are not physical, they're as real as the very flesh upon our bones. They are malevolent beings, the vastness of whose intellect exceeds that of any human being who has ever lived. And thus we should not expect that a person unaided from above would ever be a match for an angel, especially an angel whose intellect has been sharpened by malice. So how do we put on the full armor of God? Well, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 gives us 7 pieces of the armor, the first of which is truth. Now think about this for a moment. Just as your waist is the center of your body, so truth is central to the full armor of God. Without truth, well, the covering that protects you from your proclivities towards the world, the flesh, and the devil, that protects you from the devil's schemes, simply crumples to the ground and leaves you naked and vulnerable. So it's critical that we put on the belt of truth. We buckle it around our waist, as it were. Secondly, that we put on the breastplate of righteousness. You can think about putting on your shirt or your blouse. When you think about the breastplate of righteousness, because no matter how correct your worldview, if it is not coupled with righteousness, you inevitably forfeit the moral authority to speak. I've often said that righteousness is the core of Christianity compressed in a single word. So we put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then think of your feet being fitted with the priceless gospel of peace, the priceless material with which God has fitted your feet for readiness in spiritual warfare. This is nothing less than the gospel, and it is nothing less than the gospel of peace, because through the gospel of peace, we're not only reconciled with other people, but ultimately, we're reconciled with God. And if we are reconciled with God, we can face anything that comes our way. So with your feet fashioned with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, you can stand firm in distress, disease, destruction, and even death. And I can say that today with all certainty. My sister, my dear sister, she's so dear to me. She's 1 year older than I am. I was just having a conversation with her husband. She went through an operation for pancreatic cancer. And they had to just close her up and say, there's nothing more we can do. And so she's facing the specter of death. But she didn't do so with despair, but rather in great faith. God has given her 71 years. She may live another year, maybe a little longer. But she is ready, willing, and happy about walking into the arms of our Heavenly Father. So we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. And then I always think of my right hand, with my right hand, taking up the shield of faith. Because just as the ancient shield envelops the body, so faith envelops the entirety of our being. So when Satan attacks our head, The hand of faith holds fast to truth. When Satan attacks our heart, the hand of faith holds fast to righteousness. In fact, I think it could be well said that the shield of faith is the apex of the full armor of God. It is the very grace with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So again, we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, and in our right hand we hold the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then we have the helmet of salvation. I think of the head. You put a helmet on your head, and just as the breastplate of righteousness is your spiritual heart protector, the helmet of salvation is your spiritual head protector. I say that because it's the covering that protects your mind so that you do not become disoriented in the throes of spiritual warfare. When the denizens of darkness land their most devastating blows, the helmet of salvation will guard your mind and grant perspective. And that's what we need. We need perspective. In the midst of spiritual warfare, we need to have a right valuation of things. Well, with my other hand, I think of picking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we're armed with the puny sword of reason, as I mentioned in a past broadcast, we're just impotent. We're impotent before an archfiend who has studied us thoroughly. An archfiend who is thoroughly, he's intimately acquainted with all of our vulnerabilities. He knows exactly where to strike. We certainly saw that with King David. He's the quintessential king of Israel, and yet Satan knew exactly how and when to reach into his sinful proclivity and cause him to sin, not only through adultery, but also through murder. He had Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, killed on the battlefront. If we are armed with the sword of the Spirit, we are a terror to Satan, as Jesus demonstrates here in Matthew chapter 4. And we can stand strong in the face of Satan's fiercest temptations. Well, all of this is wrapped up with prayer. This is the last piece of the armor. And I think that it is wonderful to think that each time you open your eyes in the morning, each time you close your eyes at the end of the day, to remember that prayer is firing the winning shot. So prayer is not merely a piece of the armor. Rather, it is the thread that weaves the covering, the full armor of God, into an exquisite tapestry. It is the given. It's the foundation. It's the first principle of God's plan to protect you from evil. The final analysis, the whole of Scripture informs us that spiritual warfare is the battle for the mind. While fallen angels, as I've said, are not physical beings, they're as real as the very flesh upon our bones. They are malevolent beings, the vastness of whose intellect exceeds that of any human being who's ever lived. And therefore, we must not expect that unaided from above, we would ever be a match for a malevolent angel whose intellect has been sharpened by malice. And again, we've seen this in Scripture from the Garden of Eden to the present generation, Satan honing his craft of temptation. No doubt much to his delight, we often depict him as either a cartoonish clown with an elongated tail, red tights, and a pitchfork. But he's not silly and he's not stupid. Satan appears as a cosmopolitan angel of enlightenment. He is the ultimate adversary, which is precisely what his name entails. All the sin of the world is patterned after him. So, for example, when we lie, we speak the native language of our adversary, for he is the father of lies, and he full well knows that without the spiritual armor listed by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, we are but pawns in his demonic game. Well, next time we will pick up Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, or I should say 12 through 17. And you want to miss that, because this is about the kingdom fulfilled prophecy and Jesus preaching repentance, just as John the Baptist had. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Do you want to live a visionary life of purpose and meaning? Do you want to live in Christ with a sense of purpose and peace? Most of us will answer yes. And yet, rather than soaring to spiritual heights, we often remain grounded, emotionally and spiritually stuck in our harmful habits and attitudes, finding ourselves repeatedly wingless and unable to take flight. Written by a husband and wife, the husband a priest and wife a psychologist, Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan is a path to personal renewal needed by many in this moment. To receive your copy of Renewing You, a Priest, a Psychologist, and a Plan by Father Nicholas and Dr. Roxanne Lowe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.